Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wise Women of Wealth today with Dr. Minetta. I'm really excited to be back with you on this glorious day. We have again with us our special guest, Dr. Alta Davis. Was with us last week here as we presented, and she shared regarding experiencing grief and loss during the holidays. And so we know we didn't complete everything that we needed to cover, so we invited Dr. Davis back this morning. Good morning, Dr. Davis.
Good morning, good morning. Good to be here.
Great to hear your voice. Yes, 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 yes. And so today what we decided to do is to give Dr. Alta our full attention of the program today as we continue to have some healthy discussions on grief and loss. And I just gave it a little title, Hope and Healing, Surviving the Holidays While Experiencing Grief and Loss. And so for our listening audience out there, if you may have a question or comment during this time, you can call in at 657-383-1769. Again, 657-383-1769. That's our live call-in number for the next 30 minutes. And you will be able to share or express what you have as a question or a comment or maybe an insight with Dr. Davis. And so without further ado, I want to present to some and introduce to others our special guest, our resident therapist, counselor, Dr. Alta Davis. Dr. Davis, well, we're in your hands.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me once again. It is just a pleasure and an honor to be able just to share with the listening audience all of the things that we do during the holiday season of when people are grieving and some of the things that we're not aware of. In general, about strategies for going through the holidays. And I just want to reiterate a couple of things that will fall into our question and answer segment, and that is, first of all, how can we help ourselves? When we help ourselves during nurturing ourselves, getting as much rest as possible, eating as healthy as possible, and even if you can't sleep, because many people can't sleep during this time, but even if you just lay down and rest your body, it is helpful for you to nurture that part of your body. So eating right and sleeping right, getting exercise if you can. If you need to cry, cry. I always say give yourself permission to grieve. It's quite okay. You miss your loved one, and you need to go through the process. And then reaching out to others. Sometimes we want to isolate ourselves. We don't want people to see us cry or have a pity party or whatever we want to call it. But this is a most normal time, and it is necessary for the expressions of grief to come forward. So reaching out to others, those that are supportive of you, those that you can be yourself around, and those that will not be judgmental. So those are just a couple of ways of helping ourselves during the general. One of the ways of helping ourselves during the actual holiday is maybe you want to start your dinner with prayer, acknowledging your loved one, lighting the candle in memory of, setting a place for that person in memory of, looking at pictures, telling inspiring stories, or even inviting friends over just to share stories about your loved one that is uplifting. So those are just a couple of things that you can do for yourself. Our biggest question is, how do we help others? And when others are grieving, a lot of times we don't know what to do, so we sometimes do inappropriate things. And I'll get to the do's and don'ts a little bit later. But
yes.
how we help others is just to be there for them, be there in support of them, be there as a listening ear. Let them tell their story, and then be willing to listen to their story and not your story.
Yes.
You know, oftentimes when people are trying to tell you how they feel and they're telling their story, you're like, I totally understand, because when my aunt died, this is what I did. And you go all the way into yourself. And so you don't allow that person to tell their story, so you're really not listening to them. And so one of the ways that you can definitely help is to have a listening ear. Be non-judgmental. If a person needs to cry, they just need to cry. Stop telling people, just be strong. You got to be strong for the family, you know. Why do we have to be strong for everybody else and deny your own natural feelings of grief? So it's unhealthy to continually tell people to be strong. And you didn't cry. You did really good. So that is an unnatural you know, it's something like a pat on the back, but it's something that people say, because sometimes they can't take you crying. Sometimes they can't see you in mourning. They don't know what to do with it, so they want you to really kind of get over it.
They're uncomfortable.
So, right. So we, you know, we have to be very aware of our own feelings, our own grief, our own judgment, that affect other people when they're grieving. So helping someone else is really, really kind of engaging into them and not ourselves. And the other thing is learning that we don't always have to talk. You know, we don't always have to have something to say. Sometimes they just need to sit and know that you're there.
Yes.
You know, I'm here for you. If you need anything, I'm available. But you don't have to just talk and just go on and on and on and look for conversation. Sometimes they don't want to talk. And so it's just these small things of really tapping into the person that's grieving, finding out, what do you need? What will make you comfortable today? And so when you do these things, you really let them know that I'm here as a genuine support for you. If you need to cry, you can. If you need to laugh, if you need to be angry, if you need to talk about your disappointment, whatever the grief brings at that time, if you're available to listen, that is really the most help that you can give that person that is grieving during that time.
So, Dr. Davis, you're saying you can't fix it. Don't try to be a fixer.
Right.
You know, you're there to be a supporter. So those are people
Absolutely.
That are listening in, that are used to fixing, you know, thinking they could fix someone, but you can't fix this. So I just wanted those supporters out there, you can do as Dr. Davis has encouraged you. You know, be that silent person. Be that person knowing that they are there. You are there for them, but you don't have to go in like the Calvary to fix them.
Right, absolutely. Yes, and that's just a good point to know that we're by nature fixers.
Yes.
You know, we want it to be okay. We want it to be all better, and it just doesn't go like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have another question that came in. What to do when offenses have occurred and no one wants to host the family dinner?
Ooh, good one.
My first response is someone has to be the bigger person. Who is the next person in line with influence in the family? That is generally the person that will have to pull together the family or either pull together a family meeting. You may need to find a mediator that will come in and sit with you and your family during the family meeting because tempers may, you know, fly. People may say things that they want to say. And so oftentimes, you know, you may need a mediator to come into that family situation. But getting together and having that meeting is like the most important thing you can do because if a matriarch or patriarch, like a mom or dad, passes and the siblings are just at odds with each other, the mom and dad was the person that normally brought everybody back together. And so generally, it may be the older person in the family, the older sibling, or it may be the sibling with the most common sense. We never know. We never know who will step up, you know, because it may be the older person that's causing all of the rift because they feel like
right.
they have that advantage. And so it just kind of depends on what's going on. But the main thing is to get a family meeting and to actually assess what is going on, why are we angry, what happened either during the death or prior to the death that was upsetting to someone, and to walk through it, to work it out. And so that, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that is the first step towards amending that family.
Right. You know, what I have encountered is each individual has to determine in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, do they want to be right or do they want the relationship?
That's good. That's good.
Do I value my relationship with my siblings, with my cousin, with my whoever, my friend, whoever? Do I want the relationship or do I want to be right?
Yeah.
And so that helps determine right off the bat which is going to be the priority. My pride and my righteousness, my self-righteousness, or I value the relationship with that family member. So that's the one I propose to persons when they're in that type of crossroad. Which is more important, the relationship or what they said 30 years ago?
Right, absolutely. And sometimes we put our relationships at a great disadvantage when we want to hold on to something that's really petty. You know, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And so when you hold on to those things, it really causes that confliction to stay. It really causes all the odds that you're against. It causes that to stay in the family. So I like that idea. Just, you know, what's more important to you, your relationship, or you need to be right on this issue? Very good. Another question we had is what to look for in children who are grieving. Children are very resilient. I mean, they bounce back. They play. They just get into what they're into. But they can be doing all of those things and still be grieving. Previously children were really, really left out of the grieving process. What was going on in the family, if someone was dying, children were told to stay in their places. You don't need to be in this conversation. But it's healthier when children are involved because children have those feelings. They already know. They already know, and they are aware that something is going on. And to sit down and talk with them would be the best way to handle them. Depending on the age of the children. Someone sent in a question about a three-year-old. Three-year-olds are cognitively developed, mentally able, just to handle the loss in a brief state of telling them that the person was ill and they died, and just talking to them, letting them know that it's okay to be sad when someone dies, to them that they may see someone else crying or sad, and it's okay, that it's a normal reaction, that when you love someone, sometimes it's difficult for you, and you may see people cry. When you explain things to children and help them understand that, they're able to really cope with it better sometimes than the adults. And so being able to talk to children and let them know what's going on, I think is really healthy. Also, children may become very clingy. Where are you going? They may think that you're not coming back. I want to go with you. And everywhere you go, they want to know where you're going, or they need to go with you, or they may not want to go to school because they don't know if you're going to be home when they come back. And so these things are normal reactions to grief for them that they may not cognitively be able to express, to say what's going on with them. But just to talk to them, bedwetting occurs sometimes, loss of appetite. But talking to them helps you to find out what's going on, how they're feeling, and then you just have to talk it through with them, just like you would an adult. We need to talk things out. We need to express our feelings. And so because children don't often have the words to express what they're thinking, then it's up to the adult to be able to pull that information out of them and to help make them feel secure. Okay? Any add on to that, Dr. Wendell?
The one thing that I have observed in just my own immediate family of young children, they may have, like you said, they may have the questions, and once you share with them, they process at their level of understanding. And they move forward. But the minute that we try to keep it a secret, that becomes something buried in their psychic, in their emotions, in their mental capacity. And I've seen it come forth in adults because it was never addressed when they were 5 or 10. And now when they're 40 and 50, some of those things as that young child is now surfacing.
Yes.
And so in the loss of a brother and the nephews, they were young, like 1 and 3, but he was engaged in their lives. And so from a person that would see them every day or every other day to go to zero, you cannot avoid not having the conversation.
That's correct, Yeah, so we do need to talk and have conversations with our children, let them know what's going on. I mean, you don't have to tell them every detail, and, of course, it would depend on the age. And so that is another way of helping our children. I want to share a couple of resources before we move on. Don't want to run out of time. I want to one of the resources that I recommend is a book by Granger Westberg. You can find it on Amazon. It's a very popular book. It's a small book. It's called Good Grief by Granger Westberg. It's short, it's to the point, and it's inexpensive. It goes basically through the stages of grief, and it kind of helps you to understand what you're experiencing. The other resource I wanted to share is For Pet Loss. Many people are not fans of pets, but we have many pet lovers that when they lose a pet, they are actually grieving, and we need to understand that and acknowledge it. And so for those that are grieving the loss of a pet, you can go to www.petloss.com. And on that site, they actually have where you could see poems. You can get some strategies for healing. You can even do a tribute to your pet. And so if you would like to visit that website, if you're dealing with pet loss, it is www.petloss.com. And the book, once again, is Good Grief by Granger Westberg. And it is a very good resource. I have used it for many, many years because people don't want to read when they're grieving. Their concentration, their focus is not there. And so you need something that's like quick and to the point. And this is one of the books that will do that for you. Moving on, because we're running out of our time.
Dr. Davis, before you go to the next question, can you give our listening audience, how would they get in contact with you? We don't want them to miss that out. Let us miss out on contacting you.
Okay. I can be contacted at area code 313-541-1350. That is my office number. And we're located at 18629 West McNichols. That's in Detroit, 48219. Once again, that phone number is 313-541-1350. And you can always leave a message, and I will collect my messages if I'm not in the office.
Great. I just didn't want our listening audience to miss out on how they may need to seek out your services and your assistance in this season of their life. All right. I'm glad to have that.
Well, thank you. And I may be able to copy the link for About Me. When you push on that link, you can actually get a consultation, and it will come directly to my email.
Oh, great.
And it is http://aboutmedelta.davis.com. That is aboutme.com. And so I'm hoping I'm giving the right link to it, but it links to
I'll have it on the Facebook page as well up under this broadcast. So they will see your website info on there, and all they have to do is click on and follow the directions from that as well.
Okay, great. Well, I want to just kind of end with the do's and the don'ts. Do be supportive of people. Listen, be available. Be willing to give time and space for their story, not yours. Be willing to be available for whatever they need at that time in their grief. The griever lead you. If they want to talk, then you talk. If they want to be quiet, then we'll be quiet. If they need to cry, you'll be there with a tissue or whatever. But let the griever take the lead. One of the don'ts is don't give advice on how to grieve like you did when your loved one died. Every grief is specific to the individual. Don't tell the griever how you feel and how you know that they feel, because you really don't know how they feel. Remember that men and women grieve differently. Men may have a macho appearance. They may look like they're really strong and dealing with it wonderful, but on the inside, internally, they are messed up. And so don't take for granted that everybody is just strong and that we grieve the same way. We grieve differently, and that needs to be respected. Don't tell people that if they have lost a child, I don't care if they have 10 more, don't tell them they can get another child or you got these many left. Don't do that. That's an insult to people. It's an insult to think that the specific loved one that died, you think that they could be replaced. And we do that because we don't know any better. And sometimes people say, do people really do that? People really do that. I get calls often, how do I handle when people tell me I'm young and I can get another baby? They just ignore that I just lost a child. And so we need to be really sensitive in these different things, and not just during the holiday season, but always. Remember, treat yourself and others with care and compassion. Give time and take time to listen. Be compassionate to one another. Let us love one another. But let us be in tune to what other people are going through so that we may really be supportive in every area that we can. So I wanted to leave that with you for the holidays. And I can still take questions if I don't know if anyone got on the line.
I do have one question that was kind of falling in my spirit as far as grief and the grief process and our faith. I know that's a mega question. You know, I always bring the mega questions. But Dr. Davis, you know, as people of faith, how does this factor in even how we minister to ourselves, how we take care of ourselves, and then those others that are around us and our role in, as our faith plays? So that's my question.
And that is a biggie, because there are many people that have great faith and they feel like they shouldn't grieve. They feel like if they grieve, they will disappoint God. Their faith is not strong enough. God understands our grief. He understands that we are human, that we hurt, that we're disappointed, we're frustrated. He understands all of the emotions that we go through. And so to grieve does not neglect your faith. When you neglect your faith is when you grieve as those that have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have hope, that does not mean that we're not going to be sad, we're not going to feel the pressure of the stress of the things of the world that we're going through. Our faith is what keeps us standing. But even in your faith, you're going to have to cry sometimes. I don't care how much faith you have. Things will come to us that will bring us to our knees in a different way. And so faith is not negated when you grieve. And that's the biggest thing that people need to know. I love God, but I hurt. And so that super faith, fictitious thing that we try and lay on people, or people lay on themselves with guilt, and they, in silence, they suffer because they want people to think that they're strong and they're moving in their faith. Those are myths that need to be done away with. You need to get yourself healed, and your faith will help you get healed, but it does not negate your grieving.
Yes, you just said a key word, and out of that book that you recommended, Good Grief, it has something, and I want to share it. It says, common myth about grief. Grief is an emotion. Grief is an emotional experience, a physical experience, an intellectual experience, and a spiritual experience. All four components of grief comprise of our response to the loss or death of someone or something we care about. So grief is an expression that touches all parts of what makes us human. Grief is an emotion. And that came out of the Good Grief book. And, you know, all components of us, we got the emotional experience that comes. We got the physical. We have the intellectual experience that comes. And we have the spiritual experience. They all are components of grief. And even the physical, we didn't really talk a lot about that, Dr. Arthur. the physical part of the self-care or taking care of ourselves, and the emotional and the intellectual and the spiritual, as we just mentioned, as a person of faith. But all four components is a part of our human, our humanness and our human experience. So we need to still allow ourselves to be healed and to have hope in this process.
That is it. Because it affects us in so many different ways. And so when you mention all of those components, that is so very true. You know, the physical, the headache, your body can ache. I mean, emotionally, you may not even want to get out of the bed. You may go into depression. So many different things. Sometimes people don't even want to go to church. They don't even want to talk about God. And so when you look at the spiritual component, these things are realities that people don't discuss, but they're there. They're there. I'm mad at God. I won't say I'm mad at God, but really, I'm just not going to go to church right now. I can't understand why God allowed this to happen to me. And so all of those things play into the four components, I would really recommend that our listeners get that book. And even if you're not grieving right now, just keep living. At some point in our lives, we're going to lose someone that we love. And it's a good book to have, whether you're going through grief or whether you would like to support someone else that's going through. Just to have that on hand. It's a good book to have in your library.
Absolutely. You know, we expand. When we talk about grief, it's a response to loss. And it could be loss of loved ones. It could be loss of health. It could be loss of livelihood or finances. It could be loss of relationships. It could be loss of your capacity to do certain things.
Yeah.
Or as you say, the loss of a loved one or the loss of something that you care about.
Yeah.
And so that grief can show up in many different ways. And we may not even know. We know something is not right, but we have not identified it or put a label on it as grief. And so pray that what Dr. Davis has shared with you today, that you would just, you know, take some time and look at the resources that she recommended. Go to the website, and if need be, make that appointment. Make a call and schedule a session with Dr. Davis. Sometimes you may just need to talk, you know, give some voice to it. I highly recommend it. And so dial that number. Don't be afraid. You know, many times and I'm going to just speak from the standpoint of the African-American community and in the faith community, many times we think that something is wrong with us emotionally because we are grieving. And I'm saying get the help that you need. If you had a toothache, you would go see a dentist. If your toes were hurting, you go see a podiatrist. And you understand what I'm saying. And so help yourself by getting the help that's available. Don't withdraw and do not withhold that from yourself. That's what I would say. Let that be a gift to you today. If you're experiencing any form of grief or loss during this season and during this time in your life.
And one thing I just want to say before we end is please check on the elderly.
Yes.
So many elderly are grieving the loss of their health, and they can't get around. They can't do things like they used to, and it's grievesome for them to even be in those positions, and they may not even know what's going on with them. So check in on the elderly. Give them a call or give them a visit during this season as well. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yes. That's very important that we do, especially those right there in our community, right there in our own families, or organizations, or your churches and temples and synagogues. Let us be a blessing to each other, as we may be experiencing, or we know someone that may be experiencing. Dr. Austin mentioned about the loss of the pet or the four-legged family member, and in my own family, in 1 week, we lost two family members that were pets, and so there was a lot of heaviness of hearts and grieving the loss of Mr. Blake and Mrs. Chanel. And so those pets were a very important part of our family, and they were known throughout our family, and Miss Chanel had the personality that she was known as far as South Africa and Botswana. And so we don't devalue that type of loss that you may be experiencing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Dr. Davis, we are looking. I don't know if we have. I'll check to see if we have anyone who have called in that may have a question, may have a comment. For Dr. Davis, I want to, if you're listening in to the broadcast live, as we're still with you, or in the future, or as the recorded, you can still make contact with Dr. Davis. You can inbox her. I know she's on Facebook under Dr. Arthur Davis, with any questions that you may have about grief or loss, or maybe you need a session. Or I know Dr. Davis has served as a mediator with families. And so, you know, do what's going to bring hope and healing to your family in this time and in this season, because there are a lot of different family dynamics that can surface. Looking at the self-care, looking at you're the survivor. You know, there are different circumstances of even how the person may have transpired. You know, it could have been through sickness, it could have been through tragedy, whatever. Survivor's remorse. That's a different type of grief. And and so sometimes we just need to have that voice, that listening ear, in the shift, in the change, and you going forward. I know of a friend who had two daughters, and one was very sickly, but she survived and she's still living, but the other daughter transpired. And so the one is feeling guilt and remorse. Yes. And so there are a lot of different things that you may need some help. And I'm just saying to you, get the help that you need so you continue to go forward and to thrive in living. Amen? Amen. Yep. Dr. Davis, what's your closing remarks? Or maybe you had some reflections on that as well.
No, everything you said is good. We just need to be able to be aware. Remember to treat ourselves and others with the utmost care during this time. We need to be mindful that everyone is not having a Merry Christmas. Everyone is not planning on a great dinner. And so some people are just planning that they want to stay in their bed and they don't want to be bothered, because the person that they love is gone. And so we have to be mindful of those things, that this is a normal part of grief, and whatever we can do to help make it better as a support system, we need to be trying to do that. And so for those that have tuned in, I appreciate that you took the time to tune in to find out how you could support others and how you can even support yourself. So with that being said, enjoy your holidays, as much as possible. Be ever so mindful to be kind and considerate to everyone that is going through a time of transition with their loved one.
That is great, Dr. Davis. And most of all, be kind to yourself. Love yourself,
yes.
Hug yourself, bless yourself, and take care of yourself. Those are my little prayers and wishes and tips to each of you in our listening audience. We look forward to you being back with us on next week here on the Wise Women of Wealth Today with Dr. Mineta. We just thank God again for Dr. Alter taking the time for the last 2 weeks to share with you some tips, some strategies and resources as you experience grief and any type of loss during the holiday season. May God continue to bless each of you. Have a great day and go in peace. Shalom. God bless you.
God bless. God bless.